It is a wonderful joy to be here with you once again to bring forth God's word and to deposit into each and every one of you and to simply sit here and commune with you. You know, my brothers and my sisters, I do believe that we are called for such a time as this. As we stated earlier, today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and as I was reflecting on the power of Pentecost, I was reminded of a question that I've heard when I first got saved. I remember a question so clearly when I first got saved, a question that really caused my mind to wonder. And the question was, have you ever wondered why, when God saved you, why did he leave you on the earth? That question pondered my mind, my brothers and my sisters. And I pause to say that this is the sort of question that would never occur to most people. It certainly hadn't occurred to me before. And when you first hear it, no quick answer will come to mind. So I ask you the same question on today. Have you ever wondered why, when God saved you, why did he leave you here on this earth? So I want to go on and let you know that they went on to make the following point. They said, if God had wanted to, he could have taken you directly to heaven the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. But what I had to realize was that because he didn't, it means that he left you on the earth for a particular purpose. William Arnott, one of the most distinguished Scottish pastors in the last century, he put the matter this way. He said, to every true Christian, these two things may be said. You have need of Christ, and Christ has need of you. He then adds this thought. The simple fact that a Christian is on earth and not in heaven is proof that there is something for him here left to do. And if he is not doing it, the neglect shows either that he is not yet a Christian or that he is a Christian who grieves God. So what is it that God left you on earth to do? Well, let me put it in another way. What is it that we can do on earth that we can't do in heaven? What is it that we can do on earth that we can't do in heaven? We can sing on earth and we can sing in heaven. We can pray on earth and we can even pray in heaven. We can fellowship with other believers on earth, and we most certainly will fellowship with other Christians and believers in heaven. This list could be endless. It could be endless, but when you think about it, there is one main thing that you can do on earth that you will never do in heaven, and that is that you can tell a lost sinner about Jesus Christ. There will be no sinners in heaven. So if you're going to tell them the good news, you've got to do it while you're here on earth. As the first song that we listened to on tonight said, we have to be sold out. We have to be sold out. As we listened to that song when Brother Mel opened us up, that we must be sold out. We have to realize that we are God's witnesses. You must realize that just before he returned to heaven, Jesus explained to his disciples what they were to do after his departure. What he said to them, he also says to us. He left us on the earth that we might be his witnesses. In heaven, there's no need for witnesses because in heaven, seeing indeed is believing. There in heaven, the Lamb will be the light and he will not need no lesser lights. But in this dark world, we are the only light that he has. on earth, we are his witnesses. He does not send angels to proclaim his name. He does not write the gospel in lightning across the skies. He uses people like you and me to convince other people like us to believe in him. We have to realize that we are God's witnesses. We are his evidence, if you will, to convince an unbelieving world. If we do not do our part, God has no other plan. As Brother Mel played the song earlier, I believe it's by the Williams brothers, that says, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody. That is what we are called to do. So my brothers and my sisters, today, as we would listen to the words of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, as he imparts the truth to all of his followers, you and me, the scripture says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We must realize that Acts 1 and 8 emphasizes two things that we need to know. Number one, the Holy Spirit empowers disciples. And two, Spirit-filled disciples witness about Jesus all around the world. It is the first point we need to emphasize for just a moment. Our greatest need today is not for political power, but for the power of the Holy Spirit. Political power can change leaders, but it cannot change hearts. It can win an election, but it cannot save a life. It can pass righteous laws or repeal unrighteous ones, but it can't make men righteous. Politics cannot change the way people think because it touches the outside of life. Only the Holy Spirit can change hearts, restore families, and save an entire nation from destruction. We must understand that the Holy Spirit, that the power of Pentecost gives us spiritual gain, and that is why we need the Holy Spirit. He can take the gospel we preach and use it to bring men and women to repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. He can replace their old hearts with new ones and give them a hunger to live for righteousness. Jesus told his inquisitive disciples that instead of worrying about the timing of the second coming, they should focus their attention out on the job at hand. First, they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they would be witnesses for Christ. This was and is God's plan for his people. It's not too much to say that this is God's job description for all of his children. Yes, my brothers and my sisters, God does have a job description for all of his children. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. So what did he mean? In its basic sense, it means to declare the truth to another person. So what is a witness? I'd like to offer you a few answers that help us understand what it means to be a witness for Christ today. Number one, a witness tells what he knows. The dictionary defines the word witness this way: one who has seen or heard something, and one who furnishes evidence. A witness is someone who can say, I know this is true. In a court of law, a witness swears on a Bible and promises to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Witnesses tell the truth, and if they are good witnesses, that is all they do. A witness tells nothing less than the truth, and nothing more either. If we take Acts 1 and 8, we can sum it up this way. A witness is a person who tells the truth about Jesus Christ. The disciples testified to the things they knew to be true about Jesus Christ. Above all, they testified to the truth of the resurrection. Let me apply this very simply. You do not have to be a theologian to be a witness for Christ. You don't have to go to Bible school or seminary, and you don't have to be a missionary. It doesn't require a college degree or a high IQ. Just tell the truth about Jesus to anyone who is willing to listen. That is where witnessing always begins. Number two, a witness shares what he has experienced. Let me add one word of advice to you. You don't have to convince your friends that they need Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. There's a big difference between telling and selling. If you do the telling, the Holy Spirit can do the selling. You can't do his work and he won't do yours. Remember, the first law of the spiritual life, he's God and we are not. So tell the truth about Jesus. Tell how he's changing your life. Then pray like crazy for God to make your friends hungry for Jesus. Number three, a witness remains loyal to the end. A witness remains loyal to the end. In Greek, the word for witness is martyris, which we get the English word martyr. It means being loyal to Jesus no matter the cost in speaking for him, even when others oppose you. How many of us are willing to do that? We must be bold in our witness. If you are going to witness for Jesus Christ, it means being loyal to the end, and that will make you unpopular in the world. You may not win Employee of the Year. You may be passed over for a promotion. It could cost you dearly to be a true witness for Christ. In the early church, believers chose death rather than to deny the name of the Lord. So I have a question for you. Are you willing to die for Christ? But to the fact that most of us won't be called upon to do that, here's a much harder question. Are you willing to live for Christ? Are you willing to live for Christ? So before I go, I just want to let you know that no matter what it is the Holy Spirit that will empower you. The Holy Spirit will empower you to do any and all things. Do you want to be a witness for Christ? Do you want to testify about Jesus Christ? Do you want to speak up for him? You may say that you may not be able to speak with the eloquence, but that's okay. The Holy Spirit does not stumble. He can speak clearly through your halting words. But you may say, but I'm too shy to witness. Don't worry about your shyness. Let the Lord speak through you. You may say that I don't know enough Bible. Believe me, my brothers and my sisters, no one knows enough Bible, but we can all work at it. While you work at it, tell what you know and leave the results with God. So you may say, well, what if I make mistakes? You probably will, and that's okay too. The Holy Spirit does not make mistakes, and he can cause people to forget your mistakes. Perhaps you have one final objection. I'm afraid it won't work. When people say that, they usually are thinking of someone they know who seems hardened against the gospel. Usually we think it won't work when we've tried and tried but haven't gotten anywhere. When you think that the gospel won't work, remember this fact. It worked with you. And if it worked with you, it can work with someone else. Don't ever give up on the gospel because you think it won't work. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would work through your testimony. Let me leave you with this personal definition. A witness is anyone who cooperates with the Holy Spirit in telling others about Jesus. All God needs is a little cooperation from his people. When he gets it, we can change the world. God invites us to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in telling others about Jesus. This is God's job description for every Christian. If we will do our part, we may be sure that the Holy Spirit will do his. Now, what are you going to do about it? I'm asking each person who hears this message to do two simple things. Number one, pray that God would give you a chance to witness for Christ this week. And number two, commit to speaking up When God gives you the opportunity you prayed for, witnessing seems frightening to many people. But before you can speak up for Jesus, you need to forget your fears, let go of your past failures in this area, trust God to use you, and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. So will you join me and other believers around the world in praying for a chance to share Christ this week? And will you commit to speaking up when God's answer that prayer? Remember this, if we do our part, God will certainly do his. All he needs is a little cooperation from his people. Be blessed, my brothers and my sisters.